Dave Spadaro with you. We are now going to take an in-depth look at Sunday's opponent. We are struggling here in Philadelphia at 3-5. The Dallas Cowboys also struggling at 3-5. We welcome in Todd Archer from ESPNDallas.com. And Todd, I guess the first question is, does 3-5 at the midway point surprise you?
You know, it does. At the beginning of the season, I thought the Cowboys would be a 10-6 team and be fighting for a wild card spot, actually behind the Eagles. I had the Eagles winning the division, so I'm surprised. I thought they would have been more consistent. Romo had a good year last year. I thought that would have carried over. I thought the offensive line would have played better. The defense has done well. But when it's come to crunch time, they haven't made plays. They've turned the ball over too much, and they've lost a couple of games that they probably should have won.
Is this a football team in Philadelphia? The Eagles still say, we are better than our record. We are better than a 3-5 team. Do the Cowboys believe that as well?
Maybe in their heart of hearts they do, but I have a feeling that at least the guys that were coached from Parcells remember the you are your record says you are, and you heard a lot of guys say, hey, it doesn't matter what we think, it's what we've shown, and we're 3-5. Now, you know, they also take the tact of, look, we're 3-5, but there's no reason you can't go out there and win this game Sunday and go get on a little bit of a run when you look at the schedule the rest of the way. But I don't think they're saying outwardly, you know, hey, if Bailey makes a kick, if Romo doesn't turn it over, if Jason Garrett manages the clock better, all that sort of thing, you know, they could be 6-2 instead of 3-5. I think they know where they are. They're 3-5 because of how they play.
All right, let's talk about Tony Romo. At times, he looks absolutely terrific, moves the offense, that no huddle seems to be working so well for the Cowboys. And then other times, it is just mistake after mistake. Todd, you've had certainly several years to evaluate Tony Romo. What's your opinion of him as a quarterback?
You know, I guess I'm going down with the ship in some respects because I still think he can win and win big in this league. And, you know, he's got 13 interceptions, more than anybody in the league, and he's fumbled a few times as well. I know they go on the quarterback's record, all the interceptions do, but if you look at him, I would say half on 13, but, you know, five or six of those picks have been results of poor wide receiver play. They're not fighting for the ball, running the wrong route. You all saw Dez Bryant against Chicago in the Monday night game where it was a pick six by Tillman because Dez didn't read the blitz. Oh, and other ones on the wide receivers where they just batted balls in the air if they weren't able to catch them. So Romo needs to play better. There's no question about it. And the Cowboys are going to have an interesting decision to make because he signed through next year. They wanted to sign him to a contract extension this year or this upcoming offseason to lower his cap number. But I have a feeling that they're going to start looking at the future and not just draft the quarterback in the middle round, but draft one early to come up with some sort of successor for Romo in the future.
You know, I kind of looked at this Dallas offense prior to the season, and I thought with DeMarco Murray and a great tight end and Jason Witten and Dez Bryant and Miles Austin and an offensive line with Tyron Smith coming around and being that anchor at left tackle, that you really were looking at an offense that was going to be very difficult to stop. I'm surprised that the Cowboys have only averaged 18 points a game.
Yeah, you know, Murray's been hurt, and even before he got hurt, it wasn't like he was lighting it up. And, you know, it's probably the same place with Philly. It starts with the offensive line. They signed two guards in free agency, Mackenzie Bernardo and Nate Livings. And when one has played well, the other has played bad. They went into training camp hoping one of three guys could win their center spot. All three of them got hurt. Phil Costa is the guy that they went with. He gets hurt in the opener, misses some games. He's hurt now. And they got a guy that they signed 4 days before the season opener or traded for in Ryan Cook that's been the starter. And, you know, he's a backup. He is what he is. And the offensive line has really struggled just coming off the ball and moving people. The protection has been okay, but they haven't been really get anything going in the running game, save for the Baltimore game where everybody runs on Baltimore. So, you do look at the skill players that you talked about and you say, man, they should be really good. But the offensive line is holding this team back. And honestly, if you look at the offense, even with those skill guys in the offensive line playing pretty good in years past, they've struggled to score points. They've always been good at putting up yards. They're in the top 10 every single year. But in terms of scoring points, they're middle of the road because they don't run it very well. And honestly, I think part of it is they ignore Jason Witten in the red zone.
Boy, that sounds so familiar, Todd. I wonder, Eagles fans are saying, hey, what team is Todd talking about? Hey, defensively, I imagine the Cowboys look at this Eagles offensive line, and I mean, there's four projected starters who aren't going to play in this game and just are licking their chops in Dallas.
Yeah, but, you know, I think Cowboys fans are so cynical. They're saying they remember LeSean McCoy running for 185 yards against them up there last year, and they're still afraid. They see DeSean Jackson, the big game he's had against them in the years, and say, well, if there's one game Philly will get hot, it'll be this one. And the one thing, you know, if the Cowboys, the defense, the numbers are pretty good, and they've done a good job of overcoming some injuries. But the one thing they don't do well is rush the quarterback. It's DeMarcus Ware and nobody else, and that's been the case for a while. Jay Rattle's got an ankle injury. He should play, but, you know, if he's your second-best pass rusher, you're in trouble. Anthony Spencer's played well, only has three sacks. Rob Ryan's kind of in a bind because if he blitzes, he exposes people on the back end. If he doesn't blitz, he doesn't get after the quarterback. The Cowboys have to get pressure in the front four, and they just haven't done it. But, you know, maybe this is the week that everything gets cured because of what's going on up there with the Eagles missing so many linemen.
What kind of heat is Jason Garrett getting, Todd?
You know, it's more from the outside, and people just speculating because of Jerry Jones's history and nature and how he's changed coaches so often. But inside the building with people you talk to, they don't think Jason's in trouble. This Sean Payton stuff is truly interesting, and it makes for great fodder for us. But, you know, if you talk to the people who, I won't say the decision makers, but just, you know, a couple levels below them, they don't think Payton will even be available to them for the Cowboys or anybody really to make a run. But I think Jason Garrett will be back in 2013 as his team's coach, and that'll be his make or break here because, you know, as well as they played when he took over for Wade Phillips after a 1-7 start, they went 5-3 with Garrett. 4-9 in the last 13, and you know they haven't shown they've gotten any better.
Hey, the one player, I mean, I think everybody recognizes him as an all-time great, one of the toughest players who's ever played the game. That he played in the opener against the Giants was remarkable after the spleen injury in the preseason. Jason Witten, it's still a craw for the Philadelphia Eagles in that draft when he came out. The Eagles took L.J. Smith from Rutgers instead of Jason Witten from Tennessee. Todd, over the years, I mean, I'm sure you've watched him and really admired the way he approaches the game.
Yeah, absolutely. He's one of the greats, really, and how he goes about it. He's missed one game in his career, and it was because of a broken jaw. Came back the next week and played with two or maybe three plates in his jaw, holding everything in place. And you mentioned the spleen this year. You know, I wrote something a couple weeks ago after they lost to the Giants where it's just you start feeling bad for a guy like Witten. A guy who puts up numbers, produces, does everything he's supposed to do, leads the team, works hard, like I said, does it all, and yet he's got one playoff win. And you just wonder if it's ever going to turn for a guy like that, and he'll have a chance to experience some of the things that would make him, you know, a sure bet Hall of Famer and a Ring of Honor guy here. You know, to get in that Ring of Honor for the Cowboys, if your name's not Don Meredith, you better play in a Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl. You know, it surely doesn't look like the Cowboys are going to get there this year, obviously. And, you know, the prospects for the future, it makes you wonder if they're ever going to get there when Witten's playing. But, you know, he's a guy that consistently does it every year. It's not flashy or great, but he's the model of consistency. And what everybody, the Cowboys would be a lot better off if they have more guys like him in their locker room.
Todd, last one from me. Jerry Jones, general manager, Jerry Jones, owner, what's your perspective on the Cowboys in the big picture? Can they win with the owner also running the football operations?
You know, Jerry says, well, hey, you know, we won three Super Bowls that way, but that was a long time ago when obviously Jimmy Johnson was around and there was a big debate this week about who had control and who didn't have control. You know, that is the overarching issue for this team is Jerry Jones and how he operates the business. If Jerry operated one of his other businesses this way for 16 years, and whatever the equivalent of going 500 and not having the ultimate success would be in the business world, he would make changes in that business world or he'd get out of that business world. He's not going to give up, obviously, the ownership of the team. He's not going to give up the GM job. There's a stubbornness there involved. You know, in part, I think Jerry needs to listen to more people inside the building than people outside the building. I think that's gotten him in trouble through the years when he's asked for outside views of his club and he's not gotten honest assessments. and people tell them how talented this team is. They can win this way. You better have a strong head coach. Obviously, they had it with Jimmy Johnson. While they didn't have the playoff success with Parcells, they turned things around from just a miserable showing. And now you're seeing it with Jason Garrett. But I think it's a good plan that Jerry needs to be patient with, but Jerry has to give the coach allow the coach some backbone in some situations as well. I don't know if that's ever going to happen, though.
Well, it should be an interesting one here on Sunday. Two teams desperate for a victory. Todd Archer, ESPNDallas.com. Thank you so much for joining us on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
No problem. Thanks, Dave.